I was discussing this question just the other night with my three roommates, and they felt that they're all majoring in one department and they're seniors. And they felt that the professors in that department were becoming a little lax in the elementary courses. In other words, they were spending more time on the advanced courses and the courses in research, and were allowing the elementary courses, well, not to slide, but not giving it the attention that they were giving the advanced courses. For instance, when a student would come up to the professor after class and ask him a question, there would be a short reply, and the professor would say, I have something to prepare. Whereas in an advanced course, the professor would stay there for an hour or two. And they just sort of felt that that was, well, that a freshman taking an elementary course might not get the attention that he should get. And because it's such a big change in your study habits and everything else. But they felt that in this one department that the elementary courses were not getting the attention they should get.
I'd just like to say one thing. That this department that Joe is talking about, I think this is perhaps the one department on campus that may make this error. I don't think that the other ones.
No, this is only true for one department.
Yeah, I think so.
As I know of.
This does happen.
Yeah, I would. I know I've been doing some research this year, and many times the professor has been assisting me. Has said at 5 o'clock or so at night. This is usually on a Tuesday night. He has an 8 o'clock class Monday morning. Well, looks like the rest of the night will be spent on my lecture for tomorrow. He's got, well, this is his third year here, and so he can essentially use the same notes year after year. But he revises his own notes before every lecture. And I know that he'll spend hours that the night before if he hasn't had the time to do it ahead of time. He usually has them all done ahead of time. It always seems that Wednesday morning lecture he hasn't had a chance to work on over the weekend or something, and he'll be doing it that night. So that I know most of the professors take a very conscientious attitude for any of their subjects, whether they be the first year or the research.
I think that most departments are tremendously interested in making their introductory courses very stimulating to the fellows that are taking them, because they're looking for majors. They want to interest people in their department. And so this, sometimes in departments, you'll even find that the initial course is very stimulating, and as you go on in the department, it becomes less so. This can be a problem. So I think both sides are represented on the campus.
Dan Dodon, I would like to broaden the question of the advisors a little bit to the general relationship between the faculty and the students. Is that, in your opinion, generally as close as it should be? And if not, are there any things being done to bring the students and the faculty together? I'd rather inferred from the comments that freshmen and sophomores, if they were bashful, probably didn't get together with or turn to faculty with problems, which would perhaps suggest that they hadn't really gotten to know the faculty well enough to do that.
Well, this is a problem, as we brought up before. I think that it's fairly safe to say that most students on the campus, I'd say by far the majority, come to know at least one faculty member quite personally.
Now,
this would not be including the advisors. It's usually not the advisors. It's usually someone that you come in contact with in some other area. And I think that this perhaps illuminates some of the value of some of the activities on campus, because there's usually, well, in most cases, some connection with a professor, with some type of faculty advisor, running down from the glee club or the drama club to the economics club, the psychology club, the science clubs. These kind of things have very close relationships with the members of the departments. And I think that as you progress through the years at college, of course your freshman year you know practically no one, but as you get to join these organizations to participate in these out-of-class kind of groupings that you do get to know other faculty members, and it's on a much more personal level than the advisor.
Are there many informal faculty student associations other than these organizations?
Well, depends, I would say, a lot on the faculty member and the student involved. This is a general rule, perhaps.
Right now, in a course, Jimmy is also in on it. The professor is going to be orienting his program for this course around the Phillips Visitor Series with three of the Phillips visitors. And we'll be going to an informal meeting with this Phillips visitor and the professor on the regular evening that our class meets when the visitor is here. And it'll be a chance to discuss, well, principally, the Phillips visitor's work. He'll be telling us a little bit about his most recent work, and we'll have a chance to meet him on a very informal basis. And we've already been cautioned that most of them have a first name, and they would rather be called by the first name rather than Dr. whatever the long name is.
Well, I think it'd be important to add that this informal meeting is taking place at the professor's home, where we'll eat dinner there. Well, I think there are 8 or 9 students in our class, and we'll start the evening off having dinner at his home and continuing the discussion there. Yes, this is a more, as Tenney was saying, this is a more of a junior and senior phenomenon than for the freshmen and sophomores. You see, their curriculum is so general, in a sense, that they're taking all these introductory courses, which are usually larger than the other courses, and they need time to get oriented. And the problem is, as we've been discussing it, how can we get the advisor system to provide some of this personal contact rather than let the students slip through for 2 years or so before they get these personal contacts? Because there are undoubtedly individuals who perhaps have great trouble getting to know a faculty member for one reason or another. And it would be very helpful to this kind of person to be able to set up a formal system in which you could, in a sense, push them together so that they can have a nice relationship.
So far as you're aware, what function does the dean's office take in counseling and advising students? I'm not speaking now about those that have thrown a brick through a window or something, but the student who seems to be a little bit kind of lost, a little bit disoriented, with the rest of students.
If it's a freshman, you see, we now have a freshman advisor, a formal freshman advisor, Bill Dougherty, and any problems of any sort, the freshman can bring to Bill, and it's very informal, very nice, very personal relationship.
Are you aware of whether Bill is looking after problems and going to the students that need it?
Yes,
because
he is.
Because a rare person that thinks has a problem wants to go anywhere.
No, as far as I know, so far, this plan has worked very nicely. Of course, it was just instant.
Bill Dougherty.
Well, I can say one thing along that score, Joe. I was talking to Bill Dougherty yesterday, and he had to rush off because he had a meeting with several students. I mean, I think he is probably doing a very good job.
He's very devoted to that program.
He'd be a very good person for that, I'm sure. I know him.
By the way, the president of the senior class just arrived, Hans Engelhardt.
I might go further, though, and say that with the upperclassmen, the office of the dean is not looked on as one in which personal problems can be discussed.
Yeah.
It's much more the administrative side, problems with courses, with getting into graduate school, but nothing on a personal level.
By that time, you're a prominent advisor. Now you can work with at least. You're seeing him.
Well, I've made again, I'm interested in this revision of the Constitution and the Charter and whatnot. I wonder if you have very definitely in mind any picture of what responsibilities the student government is able and willing to accept. They think of themselves as a group which lays down the rules that the college enforces, or do they expect to enforce themselves, the rules that they lay down, and are they planning to work punitively or preventatively?
Well, I think that there are a number of things here. First of all, we both lay down the rules and enforce them ourselves, and also sometimes lay down rules and let the administration enforce them. It depends. We want freedom. We want the responsibility of controlling the student body. So therefore, naturally, we have to play a part in enforcing some of these rules. However, there are certain things, like damages, for instance, when we can check up as to who did break a window, but we can't really enforce it. This has to go through the office of the dean. Or with an honor system violation, for instance, if we decide that there has been a violation and a certain action should be taken, we can advise the administration as to what the punitive measure should be. And then the administration may enforce it. Now, as to whether we act totally punitively or totally preventatively, I don't think that it's one or the other. It's a combination again. We try as best as we can to prevent any problems. We try to act positively and constructively in what we do. But, once again, there are certain things there are times when we have to become punitive, especially in terms of the honor system.